You want to hang up with me?
No, just stay in the line. Just keep trying to meet you for now.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
on the block with the goons. The thugs and the killers. The piss and the players. The untamed gorilla. My boys in the trap. Cause they know what that dope do. So I go to the trap, pull out my sword, and so what you say you do. Some rules say I'm Kahana. I say Hebrew just cut it out. Come from the same class as Maccabee. So me, you can't cut it out. Real Judah. We fulfilling them prophecies. They calling my phone saying it's love, but that's not why they calling me. 4-5 make it past the physical. Ready for war like it's biblical. They calling me Simba, cause I make fake kings look pitiful. They say they want 100, but more like 85. Them evils be watered down. I see the K-Ro in their eyes. I accept I'm a G, cause I think like a gangster. It's a higher who strengthens me, plus the strength of my finger. I need goons that think like me. We go good together. We go good. You know, like birds of a feather.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Jews up.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Brews up.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Jews up.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Brews up. Judah, wake up. Benji, wake up. Ephraim, wake up. Zebulon, wake up.
Benji,
wake up.
Levi,
wake up. Manasseh, wake up. Nathan, wake up. Israel, wake up. Simeon, wake up. Reuben, wake up. Gad, wake up. Hebrew, wake up. Hebrew, wake up. Hebrew, wake up. I was in the trap like a rodent, in the tree like koalas, back in them little Troy days, I just want to be a baller, Chevy Monte Carlos and Regals, back when I lived by no limits, if it was about cash money, best believe Bart Pearson was with it, a click full of goons, Dungeon family, 103,000 which is Andre, but snapping, Adam's family, a spiritual coffee brother, I still miss, jamming on them, when I was beginning to bang. Jamming that Westside connection. I was a product of the hood.
Yeah.
And the music I listen to. There's a gang of rules like me, but sleep don't have to go back and go get some food. I ain't saying no names. Cause they still come in felonies. OGs that taught me how to be a player. And I ain't talking about Bellamy. In the hood, ghetto, block, pushing my music, getting them out. The dope boys that pull out a wad and say, F that piece of how much it cost. They say, keep doing your thing. And God is gonna keep blessing you. Hebrews playing to be woke, but they don't show love like the sleep do.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Brews up.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Jews up.
I'm up in the hood.
Waking them Brews up. Judah, wake up. Benji, wake up. Ephraim, wake up. Zebulun, wake up. Asher, wake up. Levi, wake up. Manasseh, wake up. Nathan, wake up. Issachar, wake up. Simeon, wake up. Reuben, wake up. Gad, wake up. Hebrew, wake up. Hebrew, wake up. Hebrew, wake up. Hebrew, wake up.
I'm up in the hood.
Right. Sunday, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword Truth and Bible Talk. My name is Mashad. I'm one of the teachers here with the ISBHPK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And we have schools located in several states across America. We are currently located in San Antonio, Texas. Albuquerque, Mexico. Okay.
I'm not here.
Wow. Okay, then let's try it this way. That's a crazy reverb. So Hang up with me, hon. Hello.
Shalom, King. What's good? Lucky you. You're about to get off. I got to stay. They got me working. I know. Yeah, we're supposed to go to ISUPK's cookout tomorrow after the Sabbath, man, but I got to work. I tell you what, man, I'm on the other side. Come over here real quick. Let me holler at you and let you know what's going on. All right, peace.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom. Hello. I'm not, can you hear me?
Hello.
I'm not, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hello?
I can hear you loud and clear now.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Wow, I don't know what this is. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
I'll give it a try. I don't hear a crazy echo right now. Is it fine with you?
Yes, he is.
Can he call into the show? Don't put it on speaker, but can he call into the show and tell us how everything sounded right now?
Okay. Can you call into the show? Tell us how everything's sounding right now.
All right, so much again, excuse me. As we continue to have these technical difficulties, like you're welcome to our show. I am ISBHBK Albuquerque. And we're located at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We're also located in San Antonio, Texas, at 4218 Syndicate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, the zip code there. In Houston, Texas, we are at 8524 South Brazos Boulevard. Houston, Texas, 77071. We also have our newest location in Norfolk, Virginia, which is located at 2610 Grambley Street. That's 2610 Grambley Street, Norfolk, Virginia. If you're watching any of the shows from our class, the brothers in Houston or in San Antonio, Houston or Norfolk, you can catch them live on our YouTube channels, ISBHBK Live or ISBHBK Norfolk Live. The Houston classes are streamed live every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then again on Saturdays, they have the Saturday morning, Saturday ceremony that they stream live also from our location there in Houston. And we invite you again to log on to your YouTube account and like, share, and subscribe to the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge YouTube channel, or ISBHBK Live. We also invite you to like, share, subscribe to ISBHBK Norfolk Live, where they stream their classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The class time is from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the YouTube channel again, ISBHBK Norfolk Live. We ask you to like, share, subscribe to those YouTube channels. If you're in the San Antonio area, we invite you to come to class Tuesday through Friday from the hours of 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's Tuesday through Friday. We invite you to check them out. You know, on Saturdays, they start doing the Sabbath ceremony on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. At the school location in San Antonio, which is 42419 Syndicate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 7217, the zip code there. And then in Albuquerque, we are We're having classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 8 to 10. And then you can catch us Tuesdays and Thursday mornings here with the Blog Talk, as we come to you live and stream it on the Blog Talk here. As you know, the Blog Talk number is 646-668-2568. Again, 646-668-2568. And if you have any questions, you'd like to contact us, please send me a text to 210-784-8463. That's 210-784-8463. If you have any questions about either classes that are going on, I invite you to hit us up. I'm joined this morning by the brother Ahmad and his son Yeshai from our school location in Albuquerque. Ahmad's been a member of the school, of the church, and of the ministry for going on over 20 years now. The brother is charity and his brotherhood cannot be denied. The brother is a great father to three boys, as a matter of fact, and a husband to his wife, Shira. Again, I'm joined by him and his son, Yeshaya. Yeshaya is 17 years old. Shalom, brothers. Are y'all there?
Shalom, we're here. Hello?
Cool. Yeah, so no, just to give you a chance to give you a little introduction as we get started.
I'm sorry, barely. Did you say introduction? Introduce ourselves. If you said that, Shalom, this is Ahmad.
Yeah.
Hey, Shalom, this is Yeshaya.
And we're here in Albuquerque, broadcasting from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we're happy to be a part of this, and looking forward to some great understanding coming out, helping wake up the rest of our people, whoever may be listening in, and spreading the Most High's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and help to wake up the rest of the 12 tribes of Israel. So happy to be here, happy to join, happy to be able to help out in that effort. So Shalom.
And how about Yeshaya?
Yeshaya, you have anything to say? Anything?
Shalom, same thing. Trying to help out, do whatever I can for the nation. Trying to keep up the fight. Yeah.
All right, that's all from you, Shai.
Bye. Cool. Anything else in mind?
That's pretty much it on this end. Again, we're happy to be a part of helping out, helping wake up and do our part, do whatever we can as far as giving edification, helping read scriptures, bringing out understanding of the scriptures. And again, just being a part of helping wake up the rest of the nation of Israel.
All right, cool. Good. All right, I guess the two scriptures I want to start with this morning is if we can please get Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. If we can get those two scriptures, please. And y'all got to excuse me. It's been awfully humid here in San Antonio, and the RAC went out here at the house I'm in. So we've been dealing with it a little bit. So, and having to use the ceiling fans a lot more, you know, creating that draft at night, it got me a little congested. And I do apologize if my voice has come across a little bit more raspy than normal, which is already, I know, sometimes hard for people to understand what I'm saying. I'm going to try to enunciate as best I can this morning for the show. So we're trying to get some edification out. But what I want to start with this morning is, again, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And then also Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. If anybody can sit with that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeshua is going to grab Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
Sounds good.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe, when we believe.
Right. So the precept I'm going to pull out of this right here is one of the instructions that were given by the Most High through the scriptures here in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, is for us to know what time it is. Right? Is that it's important for us to know what time it is. Okay? If we can please get Leviticus chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 now. That from Romans chapter 13, verse 11, we want to pull from what was said to us and instructed to us that we got to know what time it is. Right? The warning that was given, the prophecy that was given, that we want to know what time it is. Okay, so I can please read that for me.
Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven.
All right, cool. So we're being advised also here that not only do I also know what time it is, and we got to know that there's a time and season for everything, all right? That, and knowing the time, being aware of the time, that we want to be also aware that there's a time and season for everything. And as October 6th is rapidly approaching, which is this coming Sunday, we know at sunset this coming Sunday that we will be observing the Holy Convocation.
The Day of Atonement.
As Day of Atonement. And that we're in that season, right? As we just recently just honored and recognized the memorial of blowing the trumpets, that now we're coming into the time of the Day of Atonement. And I know that there's many different Israelite camps. Some are observing the. Well, let's get that real quick. Also, let's go to Genesis. I'm sorry, my mind. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And let's start at verse. Let me pull it up real quick. If you can help me, I want to get to the creation of the sun, moon, and stars.
Okay. I believe that's verse 14 or 13. Was that the third day? Or everything before that was the.
Right. We're coming into
mean. And the Most High said, "Let there be light in the firmament."
Hold on.
That's it right there. Yeah.
So you want 14? You want to read it? Go ahead.
Yeah. Genesis. My Bible's coming real slow.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And the Most High said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And let verse 15, and let them be lights for and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16. And the Most High made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and the Most High set, verse 17, and the Most High set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And the Most High saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning. Oh, you said, oh, okay. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
Right, so we're saying that this is where we get the sun, moon, and stars, right? This is the creation of the sun, moon, and stars. After light and day was created, and after the earth was created, we had a creation of the universe, or all the stars and constellations, or what have you, including the sun and the moon, right? And if I could just redirect this again to verse 14.
Verse 14, and the Most High said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And
I
let
know,
them
so,
be for light.
We're saying, right, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? In verse 14 now?
And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
Right. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And that as Hebrews, Hebrew Israelites, we do observe the lunar calendar. Right? We do observe the lunar calendar and that our months begin with the new moon, all right, that the months, we count our months by the moon. That's why you may be familiar with one of the stereotypes that is credited to the so-called North American Indians or so-called Native Americans is they count their years by moons, or they count their times by moons. And I say many moons ago, this many moons, that many moons, and then I have to count the years by the moons. Well, that's actually a Hebrew tradition. That's actually a Hebrew custom that was handed down from our foreparents, from our wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and our culture, how we do things, that we measured everything by the moon, including our months and our years. All right? If we go to Ecclesiasticus in the Bible. And it's Ecclesiasticus chapter 43. Ecclesiasticus chapter 43. And let's start at verse 5.
Ecclesiasticus chapter 43, verse 5. Great is the Lord that made it, and at his commandment, it runneth hastily. Verse 6.
Yes.
He made the moon also to serve in her season for a declaration of times and a sign of the world.
Right, so here we're finding out that the Most High made the moon to serve in her seasons, and that the moon was to declare to us times, right? And a sign to the world. So we know what season we're in according to the moon. Let's read on. Verse 7.
Verse 7. From the moon is a sign of feast, a light that decreases in her perfection. The month is
right,
called
says,
after her name.
From the moon is the sign of feast, okay? A light that decreases in her perfection. And that the moon is a sign of feast, and that the light decreases in her perfection. That the moon becomes more perfect as the light decreases. Okay, the moon becomes more perfect as the light decreases. So many Hebrew Israelites do celebrate or observe the black moon, when there's no moon in the sky at all. That is actually the new moon. And that's the current time of calendar that we're going under right now with ISBHBK, as we're with the brothers of Montreal, Yashar, the House of David, and several other Israelites who came together to observe the new moon being when there's no moon at all. That's when the moon is perfected, when there's no moon at all. Okay, it decreases, the light thereof decreases in her perfection. Okay, other Israelite camps, though, recognize the full moon as the new moon. That when the moon is at its fullest, that's the new moon. So as you look around the internet or talk to various Israelite groups, you might get where some observe some holidays, maybe a week, about a week difference in the times that's observed. And again, that's mainly because some Israelite camps go with the full moon being the new moon, while others go with the dark moon being the new moon. Okay, so things like this are going to happen. Things like this are going to be around until Christ gets here. We know the end of Scripture, the Scripture tells us that we know in part, so we prophesy in part, meaning that we really don't know everything, right? We are returning back to the fact that we are Hebrew Israelites. We are returning back to the fact that and understanding and recognizing a lot of the pagan holidays that the world does observe and celebrate are not Hebrew-based, not Hebrew-Israelite-inspired. So as we get away from the worldly holidays and the worldly recognition of things, that there's still some things that as Hebrew-Israelites are not going to be perfected until Christ gets here. Matter of fact, let's get that scripture. Because I did quote it. It's also good to read it. It's 1 Corinthians. And if any of your brothers know where it's at, I appreciate the help. We know in part, so we prophesy in part.
I think that's a, I think it's in 1 Peter.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12.
Oh, 13.
Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9.
1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that was
so even Paul,
perfect.
So even Paul, one of the greatest writers of the New Testament, one of the main writers of the New Testament, even he stated what? That, yes, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That, no, we don't have it all. Okay, we don't have it all, and that's even what the Bible tells us. So it tells us, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. All right? Verse 10, please.
But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with.
All right, but it tells us, but when that which is perfect is come, and who's that that's perfect? Talk about Christ, the Messiah, HaMashiach. That when he has come, it says, then that which is in part shall be done away with. That we're not going to be knowing in part, we're going to know everything. We're going to get the full of everything. He's actually going to be here to answer our questions and to set the record straight on everything. We, in the meantime, though, are waking up to our nationality. And in the meantime, we're starting to wake up to our culture, and we're starting to rehearse some of the righteous acts of the Most High. All right, if we read on.
Verse 11. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Right. So, in us just waking up to our nationality, that's really like grade level. That's kindergarten. If we go put it on a grade scale, just to find your nationality, that's like you coming into kindergarten. Right, you start to learn your ABCs, start to learn that there's numbers, start to learn your colors, even how to hold a pencil or a crayon. This is the very, very, very basics, very, very, very beginning. But then as time evolves and it goes by, we're supposed to be growing. Right? We're supposed to be growing in our knowledge, growing in our understanding of things. So just coming in and finding out that we're Israelites, cool. That's just the very, very, very beginning. That's the very, very first start. There's a graduation that needs to take place. There's an increase that needs to take place. That does occur, and that does happen. It does happen. Reading on.
Verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Right, so all of us know that, yeah, true, that as when I'm a child, just coming in, I don't know anything like I should. Like a young man. You're young. You really don't know anything. Right? It's good you're finding out you're Israelite. You're finding out about a few things, but you really don't know yourself. You really don't know what's going on, but you do have a little bit of knowledge. And you're a child. There's nothing wrong with that. So many of us, as we just come into this knowledge, we're children. When it comes to the knowledge and understanding of the Most High, we really don't know. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a growth process that takes place. So we're finding out about the new moons. We're finding out about the high holy days. Again, there's still differences of is the full moon the new moon, or is when it's black the new moon? Reading on, in verse 12 it says, "For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Right now, it's like if you're looking through a glass, a tinted glass, and you can see through it, but it's not as if the glass is clear, where you can see clearly. But you can see the outlines of things. You can see the images of things, but you can't see everything 100% clear, 100% undiluted. It says, "For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." That we're actually going to be in Christ, face to face with Christ, face to face with the Messiah. Now, at this present time, I know in part. But then shall I know, even as I am also I am known, that then we'll know, because we have Christ there as the actual example, okay? We have Christ there, the angels there, as the actual examples, letting us know this is how it's done, this from the Sabbath to everything, including the feast, that it'll be at that time we'll know everything, and there'll be any differences. Differences can finally come to a can cease, but until that time, we're going to be working on unity, working on righteousness. But there's still going to be those that are divided. No difference than what the new moon being the full moon or the dark moon. Are we supposed to be vegetarians? Are we allowed to eat meat? There are some Hebrew Israelites that are of the strong opinion that we're only supposed to be eating vegetables. Complete vegans. While others are the belief and understanding that, no, scripture show us that we're allowed to eat meat, and we can consume meat. And either side can pull scriptures to back up the point either way. The main thing being, we know that we're Hebrew Israelites, right? We know that we're Hebrew Israelites, and knowing that, there are going to be different camps. There's going to be different emphasis on different things within each camp, but we're all still Hebrew Israelites, okay? We're all still Hebrew Israelites, and we are rehearsing the righteous acts, okay? We're rehearsing the righteous acts. So from there, with all that being said, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23 and start at verse 1.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts."
All right, cool. So
verse 3.
We've been over this many times before, and we understand that these are the holidays, if you will, or the holy days of the Most High found in and recorded in the scriptures. These are the holy days that the Most High ordained for the children of Israel to be observing forever. Okay? And these are times that we're supposed to be actually coming together and congregating officially on these particular days. Okay? And that these are the Lord's feasts, which are supposed to be proclaimed in their season, in their time of year when they're supposed to be acknowledged. With that being said, if a brother doesn't mind, can we jump down to verse 26?
You got it. Verse 26. And the Lord, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Okay.
And ye shall do no.
We have in verse 27. Also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So with this here, can I get some assistance in the definition of atonement? Can I get some assistance in the definition of atonement?
I have atonement. It says reparation for a wrong or injury.
Okay.
So reparation, like the root word for that is like repair. Like basically, you want to repair the wrong that you've done or injury you've done. You want to make up for it somehow.
Right, exactly. That the Lord provides for us as Israelites a day that we can repair things, a day that we can restore things, right? And this is where we get the Day of Atonement, right? That day of repairing or I'm sorry, what word did you use there? I'm sorry, can you read it again? I'm sorry.
It says atonement. Excuse me. Atonement. Reparation for a wrong or injury, and the root word for reparation is repair. So basically what it's saying is to repair for a wrong that you try to come back and make up and repair for a wrong you've done, is what it's saying.
Nice.
In layman terms.
And this is a day for us to reconcile all these and start repairing these things, but we've gone against the Most High, and He's provided this Day of Atonement. Are there any other definitions you have for atonement?
Do you have any different one?
Agreement, concord, reconciliation. After enmity or controversy.
Yeah. That's a little complicated.
Okay, you can reach just a little bit louder, maybe get a little closer to the phone.
Just pick up your voice.
Agreements or concord,
reconciliation.
After enmity or controversy.
Anybody want to help with this understanding of what this means?
Let me read it off your phone. Let me break it down. Let me read off your phone so I can break it down. Okay. For what he just read, I'm going to try to break that down. I thought that was a little big wordy. It says agreement, concord, reconciliation after enmity or controversy. So basically what it's saying is you make amends or come to a compromise, so to speak. You reconcile with the person that you were contending with. You were offending them, they were offending you, it was going both ways, and y'all decided to come to an agreement. You decided to be in one concord. You decided to compromise with each other. Like, okay, you know what? Let's let bygones be bygones, and let's settle this. Let's be friends again. Let's reconcile. So that's basically what that's saying. The definition that he read. If I could shed some more light on that, on that definition.
Okay. Are there any other definitions?
If I did shed some more light on it.
Another definition I have is to compensate for having done something wrong. To compensate for having done something wrong. That if I did, if I committed an offense or wrong or a sin, that there's something I can do to pay it back to make things right. That it's not that. Well, as we get into this, we're gonna find out that there's actions that can be done on our behalf. That when we've sinned against the Most High, we've been wrong to the Most High. We've made the Most High our enemy in one way or another from our conduct, our behavior, our actions. That now the Most High provides this day that we can now make it up. The Most High now provides this day that we can pay back and compensate for any of the wrongs that we've done. And that's just a credit to how much mercy and how much grace and how much love the Most High has for the nation of Israel. And that he provides this day for us. That not only do we have the Day of Atonement, which was given to us coming out of Egypt some almost 2,000 years before Christ came, we also have now the advent of Christ coming, where John 3:16 comes into play, that the Most High so loved the world of Israel that he gave, he sacrificed, he tortured his only begotten Son. And then now whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That we're seeing the abundant deepness and the abundant everlasting mercy that the Most High has for the people of Israel, that the people that he loves, that he provides us not only Hamashiach as a blood sacrifice for us to get another chance to make things right. He also provided for us the Day of Atonement, that there's a day that we can now celebrate or observe, where we can now pay back the Most High for any of the sins or any of the wrongs that we've done to make things right. And if that's not a merciful God, I don't know what it is. You know, for everybody wants to just say that the Lord God of Israel is just a man of war, and the Lord God of Israel is just about slavery, selling daughters, or what have you. You really don't understand the love and the compassion and the grace that the Most High has for the children of Israel, that he even gave us a Day of Atonement. That he's given us a Day of Atonement to come back now and compensate having done something wrong, to pay back, to offer reparations for any trespasses or offenses we've committed to the Most High, that he's given us this day, we can now, if you will, a day of amnesty, even though Scripture calls it a Day of Atonement, to now come back and make things right with him. So if we can please read, unless I mind you, anything else you want to bring out? Anything else you want to expound on?
I had another definition. It's basically the same thing. Reconciliation or making up for an offense or injury.
Okay.
I think that's pretty much the same thing we've been reading. A reconciliation or making up for an injury.
If we've offended the Most High or injured the relationship between us and the Most High, since we have injured our relationship with the Most High, since we have injured and damaged our relationship with the Most High by going against his will, going against the way he wants things done, that he's providing this day, that if we observe this day the right way, we can make a recompense. If we observe this thing the right way, we can make things right, okay? So if we can please read Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27 one more time, please. And just verse 27 for now, just verse 27.
Yeah, Leviticus chapter 3, verse 27.
Yeah, 23, right.
I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. Get back to it. Here it is. It says, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
But
and ye shall do no...
So it's a, So this is verse 27 that I wanted. It said that it is a holy convocation, and that all Israel is supposed to be gathered together. That we just came from, we just finished, as we go through the Hebrew calendar, from the seventh month, first day, was the memorial blowing the trumpets. Now on the 10th day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. That this is another convocation, another gathering for Israel to come together, and we're supposed to observe this day together. This day that we're supposed to, and for the Day of Atonement, I like to point out again, it's a holy convocation. That if I want to make things right with the Most High, one of the steps that's got to be done, I've got to gather together. And if I want to make things right with the Father, one of the steps is that I gather together with other Israelites. Okay? It's not about well, what me and what I got going on is between me and the Most High. In one aspect, that's a very true statement. But on this one, if we're gonna make things right with the Father, he says it's mandatory that we gather together on the 10th day of the seventh month. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. That is not about what I just be on my own and do things on my own and make it right with the Most High. The Most High sees me, the Most High knows my heart. The Most High gave a commandment here that on this Day of Atonement, if we're going to make things right with the Most High for any of the sins or any of the wrongs that we've done, one of the steps in getting things right with the Father, we have to gather together. We have to gather together in a holy convocation. And then it says, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I am curious, what definitions do brothers have for afflict?
I said, I have to cause pain or suffering to affect or trouble.
Okay, so the instruction is on the 10th day of the seventh month, we're supposed to gather ourselves together and afflict our souls. Right, and again, the definition you have right now says what, Amon?
I just went to another one. It says to distress with mental or bodily pain, trouble greatly or grievously.
So we're supposed to gather ourselves together and then do what?
To distress with mental or bodily pain, to trouble greatly or grievously.
We're supposed to distress ourselves I'm sorry, the first part said what?
It says to distress with mental or bodily pain.
We're supposed to distress ourselves with mental or bodily pain. Okay? That the second step now, and making things right with the Most High, the first step was what? It's the holy convocation, gather together. The second step is now, yes, we're supposed to distress ourselves with physical or what?
To distress with mental or bodily pain.
To distress yourself with mental or bodily pain. And we're going to get into this. We're not talking about become sadomasochistic torturers or what have you. We're supposed to all come together and afflict ourselves. Right? Constant type of mental stress. And this is in direct conflict to what religious institutions teach, that why would you want to serve a God that wants you to have pain? Why would you want to serve a God that wants you to be under some type of stress? Well, when we're dealing with the Hebrew Israelite God, the God of the Bible, yes, there's a time he wants you to distress yourself. There's a time he wants you to afflict yourself. And that we're supposed to come together on this particular day. It's not just about you doing it on your own by yourself, and you're gonna do it the way just between you and the Father. No. On this particular day, the 10th day of the seventh month, We're supposed to gather ourselves together and distress ourselves mentally and physically. This is what the commandment is. If we want to start to make things right with the Most High, if we want to start making up for any wrongs or wrongdoings, and we want to repay the Most High, we want to compensate the Most High, we want to repair the relationship that got damaged between us and the Father, that on this 10th day of the 7th month, we're supposed to gather ourselves together. And we're supposed to afflict ourselves or cause ourselves, distress ourselves mentally and physically. Cause ourselves pain. Okay? Brother, do you have any other definitions?
I was scrolling down here. Give me a sec. To cause suffering or unhappiness.
I like that one. So if I want to insert that into the scripture, it says, in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27, it says, also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall cause great unhappiness. I'm sorry, what was the last verse you read? I'm sorry.
To cause suffering or unhappiness.
So we're supposed to gather ourselves together and cause suffering and unhappiness to your souls. As I'm finishing the scripture, afflict your souls or cause unhappiness to my soul. Cause physical or mental distress to my soul. And to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Okay. As I go into the Hebrew for afflict, the Hebrew word for afflict is aina. Aina. That's the Hebrew word for afflict is aina. And it means to oppress severely, so as to cause persistent suffering or anguish in a sense of making dark. Okay? So, if I'm going to afflict, and I go to the Hebrew word afflict, it means to oppress severely. So we're supposed to oppress our souls severely as to cause persistent suffering or anguish in our souls. All right? To put down our souls. Does that bring on some other definitions? For the word aina, which is the Hebrew word for afflict, to be afflicted, to humble oneself. All right? So in the sense of coming from the Hebrew background, the Hebrew culture, this is a day that all Israelites are supposed to gather together, and we're supposed to afflict our souls, which will cause pain, distress, suffering, humility, a suffering, an unhappiness, a distress to our souls, and how the reparation and how the repair and how the compensation is going to be given back to the Father is that we have to do these things to our soul. Okay? If we want to make things right with the Most High. Okay? If we can read on with Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 29 now.
You got it.
But verse 28, I'm sorry.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 28. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is the day of atonement.
We're supposed to gather ourselves together in a convocation, and we're supposed to afflict our souls. Right, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It says, and you shall do no work in that same day. The Most High is not that cruel. I mean, this is a very merciful and very loving God. That we're in our land, so it's not like we were servants in our land. We had servants, we had caretakers, we had nannies, we had it all. But even in that, he says, and you shall do no work in that same day. Meaning, again, don't make any excuses why you can't gather together with the rest of Israel to afflict your soul or cause suffering to your soul, cause misery, distress to your soul, and make the excuse, well, I'm at work, so I can't participate with everybody else. Now, the Most High in His mercy and grace said, no, nobody work. On this day, y'all don't work. Verse 28 again says, and ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement. Because this day is the day you get to make things right with the Most High. You get to repair the damage, repair the enmity, repair the wars, the controversies that have been taking place between you as an individual and the Most High. But there's steps. The Most High says, let everything be done decently and in order. There's steps we have to take. It says, a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Verse 29 says, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among the people. So, no excuses why we can't gather together. No excuses why we can't gather together. I can't say no better than that. Okay? That this is what we observe, that we complicate, that we came together. Okay? Verse 31. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. It shall be, verse 32. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even. So you celebrate your Sabbath. Okay? So, sundown, October 6th, which is Sunday. Sundown Sunday until sundown Monday is how we're going to, is the day we're going to set aside as the Day of Atonement to make these repairs back to the Most High, to get back to the righteous acts of the Most High, and that we're going to afflict our souls. Okay? If I can get somebody, please read. Numbers chapter 29, and all I need is verse 7. Numbers chapter 29, and all we're going to read is verse 7. Numbers chapter 29, and all I need is verse 7. Numbers chapter 29 and verse 7.
Numbers chapter 29, verse 7. And ye shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month an holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls, ye shall not do any work therein.
All right, cool. So again, we have, you shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month an holy convocation, an official gathering. And ye shall afflict your souls, and ye shall not do any work therein. Okay? So again, the way that the Day of Atonement is observed is it's a convocation. We're supposed to gather ourselves together. And then it says we're supposed to afflict our souls. Okay, we're supposed to afflict our souls. And we went through the images of afflict and all that good stuff. Let's get another one. Let's get Leviticus chapter 16. And verse 29.
Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever. Sorry. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you.
All right, cool. So, again, I'm not going to get into the point of making sure that strangers not observe the Day of Atonement. We know if you're a Hebrew Israelite, you're supposed to observe the Day of Atonement. I'm not even going to get into the discussion. I'm not going to get into the what ifs. If you know you're a Hebrew Israelite, what are you commanded to do? on the 10th day of the 7th month. As a Hebrew Israelite, you're supposed to gather together with other Hebrew Israelites, and you're supposed to afflict your soul on this day. Okay? And again, one thing we see in all of the references to the Day of Atonement is that you shall afflict your soul. You shall afflict your soul. You shall afflict your soul. Okay? In order to make things right, to make the atonement, to bring things back together with the Most High. All right? One difference I want to get into now is the definition for the word soul. All right? The definition for the word soul. I've got my son has now joined us. Can you read this for me, Baj? I don't know if you can read it from there. I'll turn. And it's from the Hebrew word napash. All right? The word soul in Hebrew is napash. And I'm going to have my son read me some of these definitions.
Soul, or in Hebrew, the past, first definition, soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion.
All right, cool. So I'm gonna read these over. The Hebrew word for soul is nafash. And the first definition says, it's the soul. And it's yourself. It's who you are. It's your life. So, we're supposed to gather ourselves together in a convocation, and we're supposed to afflict our souls or cause stress, pain, suffering, anguish, distress to what? Yourself. Cause pain, suffering, distress to your life, to your creature, to your person, to your appetite. Yeah, we're supposed to cause distress, a pain, an anguish to our soul, our self, our life, our creature, our person, our appetites, and our minds. And dealing with the Hebrew word napash, your mind, we're supposed to afflict also our minds, our appetites, our minds, ourselves, our lives. Reading on with the definition of soul, coming from the Hebrew word napash, it also says our living being. Now, we're supposed to afflict our living beings. Then it says another definition for soul is desire. We're supposed to afflict our own desires. We're supposed to punish our own desires. We're supposed to cause stress to our own desires. We're supposed to cause pain to our own desires. Then it says emotions, that we have to afflict our souls, or afflict what? Our emotions. Cause suffering and pain to what? Our emotions, our minds, our appetites, ourselves, our lives, our desires. That these are the things that if we're going to observe the Day of Atonement, we say the first step is what? We got to, first off, gather together. We got to unify. And then also in so doing, we have to what? Afflict our souls, our emotions, our passions, our appetites, our minds, our creatures, our lives, ourselves. All right? And the second definition for soul, I'm having my body read that.
The second definition for soul, that which breathes, the breathing substance for being, soul, the inner being of man.
The inner being of man, the inner you. So that's why I said it's not about we go and get whips and we physically beat ourselves or whip ourselves, or we're gonna bear crawl through a minefield of a football field of glass. That's not what it's talking about. That we're supposed to afflict the inner being of yourself, where your passion is, where your desire is, where your appetites are, where your the appetite of your mind, that these are the things that need to be afflicted, right? The inner part of you, right?
in verse the Leviticus number 6 says, the seat of the appetites, where your seat, where your the root of what you, where you're hungry, the root of your lust, the root of your desires, the seat of emotions and passion, the activity of the will, that these are the things that need to be afflicted on this Day of Atonement. These are things that, that have to cause stress and pain to, that have to be afflicted. But as much as we're supposed to gather ourselves together, that it's these things that have to be afflicted. And in so doing and causing these afflictions, the Most High will forgive us our sins for the past year. And we're going to get into that now. That this Day of Atonement is a very, very... Why the Day of Atonement? Why the Most High would do it the Day of Atonement? As some religious teachings teach that the Old Testament is done away with, why the Most High do away with the Old Testament when this was a day that you could get, if you put in the work, you could be forgiven for all your sins? If you put in the work, that this year would absolve you for a whole year? Again, how much love and mercy is that? And then for the Most High still come back and give his son, torture, beat, destroy his son? If that is not a loving God, I don't know what is. And all he asks is that on this day, you afflict yourself. You don't do you. You don't do what comes to your mind. You don't do what your emotion is, what your habits are, what your passion is. Well, this is who I am. This is just me. It's just this is how I do things. No, afflict that. Stop doing you for one day. Stop being about you and what you like and what you want and your emotions and your appetites and your mind and how you grew up and how you see things. Take one day with other Israelites, the 10th day of the 7th month, and afflict yourself. Neglect your emotions. Which, again, is contrary to what the world teaches. I know the world teaches, follow your heart. Now, if you feel it, go for it. As long as you ain't hurt nobody, go ahead and just do it. Obey your thirst. Have it your way. afflict yourself for one day. Don't let it be about your emotions. Don't let it be about your appetites. Don't let it be about how you feel and how you see things. Afflict your soul for one 24-hour period. And the Most High has mercy, grace, and love. He's going to forgive you for that, for the past year. But you got to put the work in. We have to put the work in. Can we please go back to Leviticus chapter 26, or 16, I'm sorry. But somebody please help me with Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 29 and 30 one more time, please. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 and 30 one more time.
Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. This shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. Whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord.
But you guys, we had to do something also. Another definition for soul is the activity of character. You have to assassinate your character for a day. Everything you think you're known for, your reputation among your friends, your family, your coworkers, whoever it might be, you have to assassinate that for one day. You have to put you down for a day. You got to humble yourself for a day. It's not about what you want to eat, what you want to drink, about you, how you feel, and once you get a feeling, you are a slave to it. And once you get a feeling, you're obligated to obey how you feel. Be true to oneself. Be true to your heart. All the little things in the world that will have you at enmity with God, that has you at a war with God. God said, look, one day, deny yourself one day and see that you don't have to be you. Forget that mentality of, well, if you don't like me, F you and the horse you rode in on. This is who I am, and I ain't changed for nobody. No. If you want to repair the relationship with you and the Most High, change. Repent. Take this day to show some mental strength that you don't have to obey your thoughts, your mind, your way of doing things. This bullshit excuse of, well, this is where I was born, this is where I am. If you don't like who I am, if you don't love me for me, forget you then. What the hell are you talking about? The sad thing is a lot of Israelites don't believe they can change. This is how I grew up. This is how I am. And I just can't change. Which cannot be further from the truth. Then that means you can't repent. And it's not that you can't repent. It's that you refuse to repent to make things right between you and the Most High. That's ridiculous. That this is a day that if you would deny yourself, your emotions, your appetites, your mind, your character, for one day the priest can pray for you. That cleanse you from all your sins before the Lord. Verse 31.
It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint, you got it, and the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments.
And having to come together, and having to come together, well, this is something that you can just do all by yourself. No. Most of us are every willing to be done decently and in order. And I know I'm saying I'm not going to have time to get into some of the other further steps that go with the Day of Atonement, but not only did you have to gather together with other Israelites and afflict your soul, and I'm not going to get into it today. Maybe I can complete it tomorrow night. Maybe. We'll see. But for this Day of Atonement, to make things right between you and the Most High, you had to confess what it is you did wrong to the priest. You didn't just all right, let's be the Most High, and I'm going to take it to the grave. Well, the Most High knows what happened. No, we're going to find out that as in this Day of Atonement of making things right, and this is what we find out that is right, that many of us have not been doing the whole complete right thing when it comes to the Day of Atonement. There's got to be a gathering together. There's got to be an afflicting of the soul. And then there's got to be a confession. Then, if we know an Israelite has a problem with us, we are obligated and duty-bound. We got to go make it right with that person first before our sacrifice, before our fast, for anything we do is ever accepted. If you know somebody's got a problem with you, if you want to have your sins wiped out, they have a problem with you, not you have a problem with them. They have a problem with you. And you want forgiveness for the Most High? You ain't going to make it right with them. You have to afflict your soul, your emotion, your pride, your heart, and you gotta go make it right make it right with that person. Then your fast will mean something. Then you can be, that's how you're cleansed from your sins. Let's finish this.
Verse 33. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 33. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year, as he did, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses.
So this is a very important day. All right? Very important when it comes to Hebrew Israel. Now, maybe I do want to get into, I have a little bit of time left. Let's get Psalm chapter 35, verse 12. Let's get Psalm chapter 35, verse 12. So how do we afflict our souls? What are the instructions given by the Most High of how we afflict our souls? Let's get Psalm chapter 35, verse 12.
You got that? Sorry, you're still messaging. Psalm chapter 35, verse 12. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. Verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Verse 14. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity...
So we're seeing in verse 12 and 13, it says that they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. And in verse 13 is the key instruction. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with what? Fasting. If you're going to afflict or humble your soul, how is that done? With a fast. How do I afflict my soul? How do I afflict my appetite, my mind, my emotions? How do I afflict and cause pain and stress to my soul? By fasting. I totally cut myself off from, in one sense, it could be food. But in the second sense, you totally cut yourself off and abstain from your emotions, from how you see things, from your appetite. Anybody see that?
God, I'm seeing here is in the middle of 13 where you just honed in on it. I humbled my soul with fasting. That doesn't have to just be talking about food or liquid consumption physically. I'm seeing it could also be talking about self-denial, period, whether it be consumption, physical consumption of something, or also denying yourself from your urges and your desires. It could be sex. It could be a number of things. It could be indulging in a movie or I guess going someplace you normally like to go, doing things you normally like to do for enjoyment, just denying yourself from desires. Like anything you can think of, man, I feel like doing this right now, like just deny yourself from it. Just deny yourself of it.
And we know that. And we know that starts with.
Go ahead.
That starts with food and drink. We know the very basic first step in that self-denial is to deny yourself food and drink. But if you can deny yourself food and drink and the urge to want to eat something, the urge to want to drink something, then as you're saying, Ahmad, then you can apply that to any other desire or emotion or passion or character activity that you might have within yourself. That you can abstain. And again, the definition for fasting is a period of self-denial. Self-denial. You deny yourself. You're right. This can be done. You can deny your thoughts. You can deny your passions. You can deny your mind. You can deny your appetites by taking one day to see you don't have to eat and drink. You don't have to eat and drink for one day. And you can apply that for one day, because you know that's going to be a day that gets you out of the Most High. You can apply that same mental exercise throughout the rest of the year. All right. Let's get Psalm chapter 69 to verse 10. Psalm chapter 69 and verse 10.
Psalms chapter 69, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fastings, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth.
So we're seeing again. We have 90 seconds left, so I'll just go ahead and wind this up. So in Psalms chapter 69, verse 10, we see again, how do you chasten your soul or humble your soul or afflict your soul? With a fast.
With fasting.
Right? And it starts with the most basic fast of all, food and water, food and drink. But again, like Ahmad is bringing out, and as we go further to this class, we also can't do it today, that you find out that can be applied to any emotion, any thought, any appetite, any how you was raised, any character trait about you, you can fast for those things also in order to make things right with the Most High. Last scripture, give me this real quick. Give me this one. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. I got it here.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord, your house, to seek my prayer.
So Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord the Most High to seek by prayer and supplications with what?
Fasting.
With fasting. Now, if we want to get things back right with the Most High, fasts are required. And the first basic, elementary, lowest level fast a person can go into is a food fast, food and drink.
And Michelle, can you repeat the scripture you broke up when you called it out?
I'm sorry, that was Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3.
Daniel 9 and 3. I just wanted to write it down. So we got to leave the school here, but we're going to stay on the phone.
Well, we're going to end it with that. We're going to end it with that right there. We have, I've got a lot of running around here also as I prepare for my trip back to Albuquerque. So with that, I would like to thank everybody who did tune in. And again, I'm going to try and get another blog talk in between now and the 6th Sunday night, where we're doing our roundtable talks with the brother Magaya Tawam, Barnaba Tazapa, and myself. we'll be on Sunday. Remember, Sunday sundown is the Day of Atonement, is the beginning of the Day of Atonement. And if you're going to fix your soul, don't stuff your face all the way up until if sunset is at 7:59, don't wait till 7:58:30 to stop eating. Don't overstuff yourself to the now. You don't want to feel the hunger. What's the point of the fast then?
Right, there's stuff in your face right before 7.
All right, cool. So with that, brother Iman and Yeshaya there in Albuquerque, that I'm doing here with my son Ibadah here in San Antonio right now, I want to thank you guys for helping me out with the show this morning, the water. And most times will, I'll be seeing y'all here real soon. All right, I'll be seeing y'all brothers here real soon.
So with okay.
That, for Shabbat.
Iman.
Yeshaya.
And for the ISBH for Kids, Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, we would like to say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.